The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Sanhedrin, this Masechet has been sponsored anonymously. Nirfu'ah Shenema Dina Bat Sara. En Narifanala, En Narifanala, En Narifanala, Rufat Nefesh, Rufat Guf, Rufuata, Romar Abu Lechin Yirason, Renomar Amen. Daf Yud Aleph, today's daf is being studied. La'inun Ishmat Avraham bin Esther, Ru Hashem Tinihan bin Eden, Amen. Today's daf is being studied. La'inun Ishmat Rifael bin Esther, Ru Hashem Tinihan bin Eden, Amen. As I was being studied for Asher Emma, Dina Batsara, and Miki Meir Benjamin Jamila. And then I call him for the Nefesh or for the Goof, for a Tam Kerubalabo. Vechen Yirasom Ramar, Amen. We begin today's daf on Yud Amud Bet, and we are starting right on the bottom. Zeman Nasi Sarich Gedi Siman. That's the Siman of the next coming Sugya. Tanan Banan, Em Averim Tashana. Ela bimzummanimna. And you want to make an ibur shana, because you want to add an extra in the extra adar to the year. So you have to do it with rabbis that were invited by the president the night before. She says she has minan and nasim ibairim. Can anybody cannot just come and do such a thing? You need an invitation by the nasim. Maase birabban gamdiel. She amar hashkimuni shab'a la'aliyah. Ban Gamliel told his servant, go invite for me 7 rabbis to my attic for tomorrow, because they wanted to sit down and make a burshana. Go invite me 7 rabbis. Hishkim got up. Umatza Shemona. There was 8 rabbis in the meeting. Amar Mishu Asha'ala Shelo Birshut Yered. Please, the one that came to this meeting without an invitation, he should go down. Amad Shemuel HaKatan. Ve'amar ani hu she'aliti shelo b'rishut. He says, Shemuel HaKatan, it's me. I'm the one that came without permission. Ve'lo la'aber ha'shana aliti. I didn't come to be part of the meeting to make the ibur shana. Eden l'mod halakha l'maaseh utzlachtu. Which means I came to utzlachti. I came to learn. I came to learn how to do it. I came to learn the halakhot. Amar lo shev b'ni shev. Ben Gamliel said, Sit, my son. You're worthy and so wise. All the years can be made according to your calculations. But what should I tell you? The law is you can only sit on the council if you were invited. That means the Bangama didn't know Shemuel. He thought he really wasn't invited. He didn't know who was invited. He just told the servant, go invite me 7 rabbis. He didn't know who was on the list. So now all of a sudden there's 8. That please, whoever didn't get an invitation. So Shemuel, the Gemara is going to say, didn't want to embarrass the rabbi that really wasn't invited. So he says, it was me. I was the one not invited. So the Ben Gamliel says, listen, you're Ra'ui. There's no question. You can do it yourself. You're a mumhe. But what should we do? The halakha says you have to be invited. So Gemara says, it wasn't Shemuel HaKatan, Ela Inish Acharina. It was another guy, another rabbi. Muhammad Kesufa, oh, Da'avi. But he did it not to embarrass the one that really was not invited. So he took the busha for himself. She says, third line, Ela Lilmod Torah Mikem He'achta'asu. I came to learn how to do it. Mahmat Kesufa Udaabad Shelo Yakiru Mi Haya Haole Shelo Birshut Vialbinu Panav. So they don't want to embarrass the one that really came without permission. Like a similar story, the Gemara says, Kihad Yativ Rabbi Vekadarish. Rabbi was giving a shi'ur once. Vereyach Reyach Shum. He smelled garlic. Somebody was sitting in the shi'ur and he smelled like garlic. So please, the guy that ate the garlic, you got to get out of the class over here. So Rabbi Hiya got up, he walked out. Amdu kulan v'yatsu. So the whole shiur walked out after Rabbi Hiya. Bashachar mitzaor Rabbi Shimon b'Rabbi l'Rabbi Hiya. So Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi's son, saw Rabbi Hiya the next day. Amad le'atahu shetziarta le'aba. You're the one that was mitzayir my father. You're the one that ate the garlic. What are you coming to shul eating garlic for? You mitzayir my father. Amar lo, no take azot beYisrael. Said Chas v'Shalom. I wasn't the one that ate the garlic, but I didn't want to embarrass the one that ate the garlic. So therefore, I walked out. I didn't want to embarrass. I took the busha. Happened to be once he walked out, everybody else understood that that's the right thing to do. So they all walked out. Now before we go further, there's a very, very interesting Maharsha on this last story. If you have it in your Sefarim, you can open it up. It's the Maharsha on Daf Yud Aleph. He explains this last episode. And he explains like this. The kasher. He has a question on this piece. כיוון שכולם יצאו אחר רבי חייא, since everybody followed רבי חייא when he walked out, על כל כך שידעו שרבי חייא לא יצא משום שהוא אכל השום. Everybody knew what רבי חייא was doing. He was walking out, not because he ate the garlic, אלא כדי שלא יתבייש האוכלו, ולכן יצאו גם הם. And the shooter was obvious that רבי חייא wasn't the perpetrator. Why? Because they saw what he was doing. Ah, רבי חייא was trying to cover up. If Rabbi Chaya is trying to cover up, we have to cover up also. So he says, "V'im ken eno dome shirabi Shimon lo yada ve'lo yavin itze," which means what? The next day, Rabbi Shimon goes to Rabbi Chaya. Well, you're the one that caused my father tzar. Well, it was obviously wasn't Rabbi Chaya. Was he coming the next day and saying, "Oh, you're the one that puta shutziata abba"? He knew that it wasn't Rabbi Chaya. There was a public knowledge. Whole shiur walked out. They all knew what the story was. So what was he saying? So he says like this. This is what he was telling him. Ata shitsi'arta et abba bima shiyatsata mibet ha-midrash v'yatsu kulam acharecha v'tsi'arta abba al bitul Torah. That was the tsar. What would you do? You should have let the guy that ate the garlic walk out. But you doing what you did, you broke the whole shiur yesterday. Everybody walked out. There was nobody left in the class. And you caused my father tsar. What was the tsar? Bitul Torah. So he says, what should you have done? Shelo haya lecha natzit. You shouldn't have went out. Rak ha'ochlo haya lo natzit. Lebado. Amar Lehi told him back, lo tehe kazot beYisrael. Devadai bitul Torah hu avon vechet. For sure, bitul Torah is a big avon. Aval lebayesh echad miYisrael, lo tehe kazot avera gedola beYisrael. But there's a big avera of embarrassing somebody. Vetov lebatel Torah, it's better to make bitul Torah than to embarrass somebody in Yisrael. So that's what he's saying. There was an argument over here in Hashkafa. Rabbi Shimon was saying, what do you mean, baby? Bitul Torah is bitul Torah. So you have to embarrass the guy. He embarrassed himself. He shouldn't have ate garlic. You should have sat in the season. Chas v'shalom. That's not what we do. Bitul Torah is important, but not at the expense of the biyush. So he saved him. He argued on it. He looked at it differently. Rabbi Shimon looked at it as bitul Torah is more important. And Rabbi Chaya said also, bitul Torah is very important, but the busha comes first. So comes Gemara and says, Rabbi Chaya mecha gamidla. Where did Rabbi Chaya learn this practice not to embarrass somebody like that? So Gemara says from another story, Rabbi Meir. Detanya ma'aseh v'isha achat shebat lebet midrasho shel Rabbi Meir. There was a story of a lady. She showed up to the bet midrash of Rabbi Meir. Amra lo, she said to the rabbi, Rabbi, echad mekem kedushani bebi'ah. One of your students made kiddushin with me with bi'ah. That's one of the ways to make kiddushin, but it's not the right way. It's not a modest way to make a kiddushin. Says one of your students over here, he's an immodest guy. He went, he made kiddushin with bi'ah. Amad Rabbi Meir v'chatav la get kiritut. So not to embarrass the guy that did it, Rabbi Meir wrote a get for her, as if he was the one that did it. V'natana. Amdu kadvu kulam v'natnu la. So the whole yeshiva wrote a get and gave it to her, to cover the guy who actually did the issur. So you see, again, not to embarrass. V'Rabbi Meir mecha gamila. Where did Rabbi Meir learn all this from? Meshmuel HaKatan. That's Shmuel HaKatan is the story we learned above, with the Bura Shana. ושמואל הקטן מאיך הגמילה, where did שמואל הקטן learn it from? משכניה בן יחיאל. What's the story of שכניה בן יחיאל? When עזרא הסופר came back to ארץ ישראל to build the second בית המקדש, there was rampant intermarriage. So there was a man over there, שכניה בן יחיאל, who was not intermarried, But when he tells Ezra, he includes himself as one of the people that was intermarried, not to embarrass those that did it. So this is the Chetiv. ויאמן שחניה בן יחיאל מבני עדם ויומר לעזרא אנחנו ספרתי אנחנו he includes himself מעלנו בלוהינו we have rebelled against God ונושב נשים נחריות מעמי הארץ and we have taken נחריות foreign woman gentile woman ועתה יש מקווה ישראל על זאת good and then that was the hope for this so he included himself in the sin ושחניה בן יחיאל מכה גמר where did שחניה know this from? מיהושוע From a story that took place with Yehoshua when he fought the battle of Ai. When he fought the battle of Ai, there was a law that you weren't allowed to take from the spoils. But Achan was one fellow. He went and he took from the spoils. But they didn't know who it was. There was a plague that came out and people started to die. But they didn't realize who was the one that actually took from the spoils. Dichtiv, Vayomer Hashem al Yehoshua. Hashem tells Yehoshua, Kum lach. למה זה אתה נופל על פניך? Why are you falling on your face? חטא ישראל. Yeshua, what are you doing? The Jewish people have sinned. Now look how Borei Olam covered up for Achan. He didn't say חטא אחם. חטא ישראל. He covered it up, so not to embarrass him. אמר לפניו רבו שלא, מי חטא? So Yeshua says, please, who's the guy that made the sin? אמר לו, וכי דלתור אני לך. What am I, a prosecutor? I'm not going to go give you names. לחתל גורלות. Go make a lot of me and go find out who did it. I'm not going to tell you. So you see Hashem again, doesn't want to embarrass. ויבא את אמה ממשה, from משה רבנו. דכתיב, what does it say about משה רבנו? עד אנה מאנתם. What was that talking about? That was talking about the ones that went out and collected the man on Shabbat. They weren't allowed to collect the man on Shabbat. So what is משה רבנו? In a general way, he talks to the whole people. עד אנה מאנתם. Until when are you going to refuse to fulfill the divine instructions. Now this piece of Gemara that we just read is a very, very big hashkafic principle that's drawn out from the Chaim Shmuel Levitz. Chaim Shmuel Levitz, Meshgiah of the Mir Yeshiva. He asks, what's the Gemara asking, where did he learn from? What do you mean, where did he learn from? You don't have to learn this from anything. We know you shouldn't embarrass somebody. Gemara says, and where did the Shmuel HaKatan learn? No, he learned it from Shechaniah, and Shechaniah, he learned it from Yeshua, and Yeshua, and Moshe. What do you need a source for this? It's aleph bet. So somebody's in a room over there, you don't embarrass them. You need a source for that? So he came along and said, that from here you see that even when it comes to ethical behavior, you need a mekor, which everything is Torah. Not only is the learning Torah and the halachot Torah, but even your conduct and the behavior, you need a mekor, how to behave. Because not only when God gave us the Torah, he didn't give us the halachot only, he gave us the ethical laws as well. That's why if you look at the section of the Torah that talks about ethics, it's Pirkei Avot. How does Pirkei Avot start? Moshe kibel Torah mesinai, u'misara li Yoshua, v'Yoshua l'skenim, u'skenim n'biim, v'im yisrael chikris t'gedolah. What are you giving me the Mesorah for? What are you giving me the transmission of Torah? It's Pirkei Avot. And it's coming to say that even these ethical principles that you're going to learn in Pirkei Avot, they were also handed down from rabbi to student all the way down. Why is it necessary? But the reason why it's necessary is because once a person starts to take ethics on his own, so then Chas v'Shalom, in the name of ethics, he can come to do the most corrupt things. A person will come along and rob and steal from the rich and give to the poor and say that's ethical because it makes sense to him. Or a person will start coming along and committing all sorts of injustices to society and he'll say, but this is the social norm. So therefore, even the conduct needs a mekor. Everything has to have a source. Comes Gemara and says, Tanu Rabbanan, Meshemetu Nevi'im Aharonim. When the final prophets passed away, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, those are the last three prophets in Israel. Nestaleka, Ruach HaKodesh, Mishrael. That was it. Those are the last prophets. No more Ruach HaKodesh. V'afapichen, Hayu Mishtameshim, Bebatkol. So then the next level, after the Vu'ah, was Batkol. That's a heavenly voice that comes out of the Shaman. You don't hear the voice itself, Tosfot says. The Tosfot says it's like an echo. Look at the Tosfot. Batkol. It's the daughter of a kol. Yesh Omrim, שלא היו שומעים כל היוצא מן השמיים, אלא מתוך אותו קול, יוצא קול אחר. It's like an echo. From that voice, you hear another voice. It's like when you hit the anvil and it makes a noise, then it echoes. You hear it from far, you hear the sound going away. It's the bat of the call. It's the daughter of the original call. It's like it's a form of Ruach HaKodesh. One time the rabbis were sitting in the attic of Beit Guria in Yericho. And all of a sudden the bat kol came out. Yesh kan echad shera'u shetashle arav shechina ke Moshe Rabbeinu, some of the text. There's somebody in this room that is worthy to have the shechina on him like Moshe Rabbeinu. Ela she'en doro zakai. But what should we do? The generation is not ra'uy. Lachen natnu dekach. They all said, this is referring to Hillel the elder. When Hillel died, we lost the righteous man, the humble man, the student of Ezra. Another story happened, they were sitting in Yavne. The bat kol came out and said, Yesh kan echad shera'ut tishrei alav. Shekhinah, there's somebody in this room that's worthy to have the Shekhinah. Ela she'en doro zakai. But the generation is not the lachen. Lekach. Natnu hachamim et enehem mishmuel ha-katan. Mishmuel ha-katan that we mentioned above. Ushemet amru alav he'chasid he'anav. Talmido shel Hillel. Which means that Shemuel, they called him ha-katan because he used to be maktin himself. He would make himself small, but he was not katan at all. Shemuel Gadol, he was great. But you see over here another Musar, another lesson, that it's possible that a person could on his own be worthy of greatness, but since he's living in a bad generation, so the generation is able to take away the ability for the tzaddik to reach the high levels. And this is a lesson that we see, that if Moshe Rabbeinu was able to reach the highest levels of prophecy, that's a testimony not only to himself, but it's a testimony to the generation. That means Dor De'ah must have been Ra'ui for Moshe Rabbeinu to have such a prophecy. So you have to know that the generation that he lived in must have been great themselves. Afu Amar B'Sha'at Mitato. Before Shemuel HaKatan passed away, he said like a prophecy. He said like a Ruach HaKodesh. And he said the following. Shim'on V'Yishma'el Lechorba. Rabbi Shim'on, Rabbi Yishma'el, Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel was the president, the Nasi, and Rabbi Shimon was the Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Shimon and Elisha. Yehargu Behedev. The Romans are going to kill them by the sword. Vehavrohi lekatala. And all their friends are going to be killed as well. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Hananiah ben Tedadion. He prophesied about the Asara Rogim Malchut. Ushar Ama lebiza. And the rest of the nation is going to be plundered. Ve'akan sagian atidin limete al alma. And there's going to be many troubles that are going to befall on the world. Which is true. After he died, and later on, you had the Asarah Rugei Malchut. So he predicted it before it happened. Ve'al Yehuda ben Baba bikshu lomar ken. And they wanted to also give a eulogy. When Yehuda ben Baba passed away, to say, He'chasid, He'anav, and all that. Ela shenitrefa sha'a. But the time did not allow it. She'en maspidin maharugeh malchut. Yehuda ben Baba was killed by the government. And the law is that you don't make eulogies for those that are killed by the government because they were scared that the government now is going to take a retribution and they're not going to allow to bury him. So therefore, when Yehuda ben Baba died by the hands of the government, instead of eulogizing, they just buried him right away. But they would have said the same great accolades about Yehuda ben Baba like they said about Hillel and Shemuel. Tanu Rabbanan, en me'abrin et hashana ela imken yirtze nasi. New rule. You don't make a Shana, you don't add a second Adar to the year unless the nasi, the president, agrees. U'maaseh b'Rabban Gamliel she'alach l'ktol reshut etzel shelton echad shebesudia. One time, Rabban Gamliel was out of town. He went to Syria in order to talk to one of the officials over there because they were running the country. So he went for diplomacy. So he was out of town. It was late. He didn't come back so fast. So the rabbis had the meeting without him. But they made the Ibur Shana on condition that when Abban Gamliel comes back, if he agrees, what we did is considered done. When Abban Gamliel says, okay, I agree. Now it was official, the Shana became Me'ubedet. Now the Gemara gives the reason why would they make an Ibur Shana. Says Mepenei Hadderachim, because of the lot of rains that took place during the year, so now the roads are all muddy, and if the roads are all muddy, so the Jews are not able to go up to Yerushalayim on the regel. So therefore, they add an extra month in order to dry out and to fix the roads. Mepenei Gesharim, for the bridge maintenance, bridges. Mepenei Tanurei Pesachim. Tanurei Pesachim is the ovens that used to use to roast the Korban Pesach. From year to year. Sometimes when there's a lot of rain, so the ovens now were made out of clay, so they would start to fall apart. Everything was outdoors. So they needed time for the ovens to dry out also, so the people could roast their korban pesach. Umipnei galuyot Yisrael shene'ikru memekomam ve'adayin lo higiyu. If the rabbis can ascertain that the Jews in the exile are on the way to Jerusalem for the regel, they left their place already, and there's traffic, and there's delays, and whatever reason, they're having a hard time getting there, so they would add an extra month in order to give time for the people that left already, they were uprooted from their place, in order to get to Yerushalayim. You don't delay the year for an extra month because of snow, or because of cold weather, and you don't do it for the people that didn't leave yet. Which means the lazy people that are just sitting back, the rabbis don't say, oh, let's give them more time, maybe they'll show up. No, you didn't show up. Those that left, that are on the road already, then we'll make a dispensation for them. Tarur banan. In me'avrim et ha-shana, more reasons why you don't make a leap year. Lo mepnei ha-gedayim, ve'lo mepnei ha-telaim, ve'lo mepnei ha-gozalot, shelo pirhum. The gedayim are the goats. You need these goats and the tilaim and the sheep, you need them for Korban Pesach. But let's say the goats, they're very small, or the sheep are very small. So you want to give time for them to grow, so they can become fat. Or let's say the gozalot, the birds, the ladies would come to the regel, they would bring the birds that they needed to bring if they became a zava, or they gave a yoledet, they gave birth that year. They would wait to bring all those birds until they got to the regel. So the law is, you don't wait for the birds to become fattened. As long as the bird is a certain shi'ur, whatever it is, and the animals are certain days, you don't wait, you don't delay for that. Shlo peru aval, osin otan sa'ad l'shana. But these reasons that we just said, although they're not the primary reasons, you don't make a leap year for it, but if you have another reason, you could include these reasons also to make a leap year, which means like a sefik sefika, which means these reasons alone, you won't make a leap year. But if you have another reason, that's, because we're going to learn later on, you need two out of three reasons. The Gemara is going to give the three main reasons why you make a leap year. So you need two out of three to make the leap year. So if you have one of those three, plus one of these auxiliary reasons, so then already you can mistaref it as a sa'ad, as a helper. To mistaref this reason to the main reason in order to make the leap year. Correct. Ketzad, Gemara says, what's the case? Rabbi Yanai Omer, Mishum, Rabban Shimon, Ben Gamliel. So he's going to give an example. Rabban Shimon, Ben Gamliel, he was the Nasi. So he sends a message to Klal Yisrael. Mehodaina nachna lechon. We are announcing to the people. Degozalna rechichim. The birds are still small. Veimraya de'arkin. And the sheep are still thin. Vezimna de'aviva lo matta. That's the main reason. And the aviv, the spring, has not come yet. And the wheat has not been ripened. V'shefarat milta be'anpai, and it seems good in my eyes. V'osifit al shata da, and therefore I have added to the following year, Tiltin Yomin. I've added 30 days to the year. So you see two reasons here. He used the real reason is the Aviv. It's for the wheat to get ripe in the spring. So he ate it 30 days. But he threw in, and the birds are also not fattened yet. That reason alone would not work. But as a sa'ad with the Chodesh Aviv story, with the spring factor, which is a main reason, you use it as a sneev. Now how many days did he add to the year? He said, we're going to add 30 days. Metive, we have a question. Kama ibura shana. How many days do you add to the leap year? Shiloshim yom. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, Chodesh. Chodesh Rashi said is 29 days. Oh, so he's having a stira. He just made the thing, 30 days he added. But his shita is really only at 29. Amar Papa, Ratzu Chodesh, Ratzu Shiloshim yom. No, it's either or. Rabban Shimon Gamliel holds either you add 29 or 30 based on your calculations. Now the Gemara says, if you look at the letter, the way the Bachelor sent the letter, he said, and it seems fit in my eyes to add a extra year. So the Gemara says, the way he wrote it, it seems fit in my eyes. Tahazeh, look, come look. My Ika ben takifai kadma'e le'anvetaneh batra'eh. Look at the difference in the way the Takifim, the earlier generations, as she says, like Rabban Gamliel, Shayan Oheg Shirara, Rabban Gamliel was a Nasi, and he had great power. Vizorek Mora Betalmidim, he used to instill fear in the students. You remember we learned the story of Rabban Gamliel in Masechet Berachot, when Rabbi Yoshua challenged him, he punished him, he told him, stand up, go in the corner, he couldn't get away with things. Rabban Gamliel was very, very, very Takif. So he says, look at the difference between the generations. Whereas Rabban Gamliel, he was very, very, very tough and very strong. Compare that to the later generations of Rabban Shimon, his son, that was from the humble generations. Look at that sheet. תקיפה קמאי, רבן גמליאל שיהנו היקסר רב וזורק מורה בתלמידים כדי אשכה בבכורות ובברכות בראש השנה, דצערי לרבי יהושע. רבי יהושע פרשתם. ואפילו אחי, קטני ב, ושפרה מלטה באנפי ובאנפי חבריי. And still, we're going to see, when the Rabban Gamliel would send a letter out to Klai Yisrael, he would say, and it seems fit in my eyes and the eyes of my colleagues, that even though they were takifim, but they had kavod. They would say, my eyes and my colleagues. That Rabban Shimon Bereh, and Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, his son, Dehava me'an v'tenetai batrei, was from the humble rabbis in the later generation, lo amad be'anpe havrei. When he wrote the letter, what did he say? It seems fit in my eyes. So the Gemara is comparing the generation. Look at the early, even though they were tough, the rabbis were tough. When they wrote the letter, they had kavod, they had a little humility. Mashiach in the later generations, when they wrote the letter, like we just read, it seems fit in my eyes. So the Gemara is going to tell us, what letters did the Rabban Gamliel write? The Tanya, top line. Ma'aseh ben Rabban Gamliel, Shaya Yosef, Al Gav, Ma'ala, Barabayit. He was sitting on the step, in the Harabayit, in the Temple Mount. Vaya Yohanan Sofer, Halaz, this Yohanan Sofer, the scribe, Omer Lefanav. He was standing in front of the Rabbi Vishadosh, Ingerot, Hatukot, Lefanav. And he had three scrolls, three blank scrolls, cut in front of him. Munahot. Amalo tot ingerta hada. Take the first scroll and write the following. He was dictating. Write the following. Vechetov, Le'achana b'nei Gilila'a al-la'a. To our brothers that are in the upper Galilee. Ula'achana b'nei Gilila'a tata'a. And to the brothers that are in the lower Galilee, Shalom Chon Yisge, and your peace be great. Mehoda'ina Nachna Dechon, we are coming to announce this man Bi'ura Mata, that the time of Bi'ur has arrived. Le'afrushe Ma'asra, and therefore take your tithes, take your ma'asrot, Mema'atana Dezeta, from the barrels of olives, which means every year of the Shemitah cycle, you have to give your Terumot and your Ma'asrot. In the first, and the second, and in the fourth, and in the fifth years, you have to give Ma'aser Rishon and Ma'aser Sheni. Hashem Tevot Aveda. 1, 2, 4, 5. In the third and the sixth years, you give Ma'aser Rishon and Ma'aser Ani. There's a law called Bi'ur. By the third year of the Shemitah, you have to make sure that you paid all your ma'asrot already. So therefore they make an announcement. Higiya sha'at bi'ur. Whoever's delayed and you didn't pay your ma'asrot from the first 3 years, you must pay it by this certain date. So you have to pay it by the Pesach of the third year. And the same thing on the sixth year. So he sent a letter. And over there in the Galilee, they had the olives. So they would give them ma'asrot from the olives. So he sent them a letter, Botai, peace be unto you and all that, but you should know that the Zman Bi'ud is coming. So whoever did not give the ma'asrot of the previous years, make sure you up to date. Right? Anybody that was involved in it's back taxes. So you have amnesty until the third year. And then already, if you didn't give it, then already you make avu. That's the first letter he sent to the Galilee to take the ma'asrot from the olives. Then what happened? Take another scroll and write to my brothers that are in the south. Again, peace be unto you. We are informing you. Same thing. The Zman of the Bi'ur has arrived. From the wheat. Because over there in the Galilee area, they had the wheat. So therefore each one got a letter based on what their product was. The time of the Bi'ud is here, and therefore you have to go up to Jerusalem for the holiday, and you have to tell the Kohen, Bi'arti HaKodesh Min HaBayit. You have to tell him, listen, full disclosure, I gave all my tithes. So you better take care of it. V'tod igarta hada, take the third scroll, V'chitov le'achana b'ne galvata, to my brothers that are in the exile. V'vavim, u'lachana d'b'madai, to the brothers that are in Madai, u'lishar kol galvata d'Israel, and to all the exilees of Israel, shalomchon yisgeh le'alam, may your peace be promoted and elevated forever. We are making the following announcement. There goes Al-Narikhikhin. The birds are still young. The Imraya Arkin. And the sheep are still thin. The Zimnada Aviva Lomata. And the month of the Aviv, meaning the wheat yet, has not ripened. The Aviv is the ripening of the wheat. The Shafra Milta Be'anpai U'Be'anpe Havrai. That's the letter. And it's befitting in my eyes and in the eyes of my colleagues. The Osifit al Shata da Yumin Taltin. And we have added 30 days to the year. Oh. So what do you see over here? You see Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel, when he wrote the letter, he said, it's befitting in my eyes. The thing in my colleague's eyes. So, but what do you mean? He was the takif. He was the one that was the strong one. He's the takif one, and he's writing over here in my eyes and my colleagues. What happened to Rabban Gamliel? So Gemara says, Dilma Batar de Avruhu. Probably he wrote that letter after they deposed him. Which was before they deposed. What happened with Rabban Gamliel? After he was too strict on the Bet Midrash, they deposed him. They lowered him. So really, before, he was takif. And then what? After they deposed him, could be then he started to become a little more...
Went back down.
And therefore, he wrote the letter to my colleagues and your colleagues and so on and so forth. That's what's coming out. And so at the end of the day, he also did it. But before he didn't. Which is we thought before he wrote we thought it was takif. So you see, he wasn't takif. He also wrote like this over there. Okay, it was after they deposed him. Before they deposed him, maybe he didn't write letters like that.
Why only the third scroll is totally fixed?
Very good question. Because the other areas were in Eretz Yisrael. They would find out about it. Why did they only send about the Ibur Shana to the Galut? What about the Upper Galilee, the Lower Galilee? Because they're in Israel. They'll hear about it without a letter. But the Galiot is far away. So they wanted to make sure that they don't want to make Pesach, because once you're making an extra month, it affects the whole holidays. But by the time the word will get out. Okay. So now, we're going to get right now, we're going to go into all these reasons over here. It has to do with weather, it has to do with the wheat, and it has to do with the Pesach coming out in the springtime, which we're going to see right now. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. So comes Gemara and says, now we give the reasons. Tana Rabbanan. Ashlosha devarim ma'avrim et hashana. There's three main reasons why you make the leap year. Ala aviv, v'al perot ha'ilan, v'ala tekufa. Let's just read a little more. Those are the three reasons. We'll explain each one. Al shnayim mehem ma'avrim. So long as two out of the three reasons apply, you make a leap year. V'ala achat mehem en ma'avrim. But one out of three, no leap year. Ubizman she aviv echad mehem. When one of the reasons is because of aviv, hakol semehin. Everybody is happy. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer ala tekufa. Now Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel just made a statement on the tekufa, on the seasons. What does he mean? Ibaidu ala tekufa semehin. Does he mean that if the tekufa is one of the reasons, the people are also happy? Wa ala tekufa me'avrin. Or maybe he holds that even if the tikufa is the only reason, you don't need two out of three if tikufa is one of the reasons. Maybe he means it's, you can have an exclusive for tikufa. Tiku. Okay, that's the Gemara. Now we got to go to each reason and what it means. Let's start Rashi. Ala Aviv. Im lo bishla tevua. If the wheat yet didn't ripen, me'avrim. Then you put the leap year. Dekra keti behodesh ha'aviv. That means Pesach has to happen at the time of the aviv. And if the wheat is not ripened yet, that's not called aviv. So therefore you have to delay the year. Then as she says, ve'id demifarshim if yishe'en lehem echad nakri ba'omer. Another reason. So on the second day of Pesach, they brought a korban called korban ha'omer. So if the wheat is not going to be ripened yet, they can't bring the Korban HaOmer. That's his question. That's another reason why you have to make a leap year. Vekasheli. I don't accept that reason. Damlin in the Kaman, al shalosh arasot ma'avrim et hashana. It says for three different regions in Eretz Yisrael, that's the regions that we analyze when it comes to making a leap year. Al shtayim mehem ma'avrim. You need two out of three. Ve'im bishlat tevu'a bihuda. If let's say the wheat was ripened in Yehuda, ve'lo bishla be'ebere yardinu ba'galil, but it wasn't ripened in the other two regions, me'avrim ha'shana. You still make a leap year. Ve'it ta'ma mishum omer, ve'are bishla tevua b'Yehuda. Where did they get the omer from? From the wheat or from the barley in Yehuda? So what did the Gemara say later on? That if the barley isn't, or the wheat isn't ripened in two out of the three regions, even though it's ripened in Yehuda, you make a leap year. What do you have to make a leap year for? If the wheat is ripened in Yehuda, you have Omer. But you see, the Omer is not the reason. The Inyan is we want the time of year to be considered Aviv. Aviv is the time of year, the spring, where the things start to ripen. When the things haven't ripened yet, then Pesach is not going to come in Aviv. It says Bechodesh Aviv, so therefore you delay the year. Now, perot ha'ilan, what's the fruit situation? Im mitacher b'shulam yoter mizman ha'atzeret. They see that what? That the fruit are not going to ripen until after Shavuot. There's a delay in the ripening of the fruit. What do I care about this? Ma'avirim. Sha'atzeret zman ha'ba'at bikurim. Because that's when the people would bring bikurim, the first fruits on Shavuot, when they would go up to Eretz Yisrael for the holiday, they would bring bikurim. Dichtiv u'biyom bikurim. Right? Shavuot is yom bikurim. You don't want to make them to come another trip. So therefore, you delay the year until the fruit is able to ripe. So you're pushing Shavuot also out. La tekufa, you have to know there's seasons. There's four seasons. As we know, you have Stav, which would be the autumn, and then you have the Choref, that's the winter, and then you have the spring, the Aviv, and then you have the Kayetz, which is the summer. These over here, each one is 90 days and change. Okay? That's each soul. 90 days pass, and you have the next cycle. And then the next 90 days, you have the next season, and so on and so forth. Now, if you don't make an adjustment from time to time, so we're worried now that if you just keep on going, 90, 90, 90, without making an adjustment, we need that Sukkot has to fall out in a certain tikufa, in a certain season. And you also need that Pesach falls out in a certain tikufa. So in order to make the tikufot, the seasons, fall out when they're supposed to, sometimes you need to make this adjustment. Now she explains. Ala tikufa. Ben al tikufa tamuz. Sometimes you're worried about tikufa tamuz. That's the summer tikufa. Shemitakevet v'nimshechet. She'en tikufa tishli nofelet ad avur ha'hag. You have tikufa tamuz, you have tikufa tishli. Now, Sukkot has to fall out in Tikufat Tishri. But sometimes if Tammuz is late, so now Sukkot is going to fall out in Tikufat Tammuz. So what do? You add 30 days to the year, so in order to push it out, so therefore Sukkot at least will fall out in the proper Tikufah. So Ma'avrim, Denaf, Karan, Kama, Mikra, Ben, At Tikufat Tevet, Shenemshach, Zimana, At Tetvav, or the opposite. We're worried about Pesach. Sometimes Tikufat Tevet, which is the winter, if the winter's 90 days goes through Pesach, you're not allowed to have Pesach and Tikufat Tevet. Pesach has to be Tikufat Nisan. So therefore, you put 30 days in order to finish up with the Tikufat Tevet, so Pesach will come out of Tikufat Nisan, and or Tishri, you'll have Sukkot that falls out of Tikufat of Tishri itself. Okay, beautiful. Now, continue Rashi. So those are the three items. Ubizman she'aviv ehad. Now when aviv, when the wheat is one of the reasons, everybody's happy. Ubizman she'aviv ehad min ha'shnayim she'mit'abrot shana aleihen. Hakol simchin. Why are they happy? Why should that make them happy? She'en choshashim b'tchiyat ha'pesach. They don't care if you delay Pesach. Lefi she'en ha'tevu'ah re'uyah. They can't eat the wheat anyway. Ve'en isur chadash ne'erach aleihen. Let's discuss. We have a law. You can't eat the new wheat until the second day of Pesach. That's the Isur of Hadash. Once the wheat is ripened, and the rabbis get up, we're pushing off Pesach because of Tikufa. We're pushing off Pesach because of the fruit. So they're upset, because they have wheat already that's ripened, and now you pushed off Pesach for 30 days. They can't eat this wheat for another 30 days. So when you push it off for other reasons, and the wheat is ready, the people are not happy. But if the reason why you delayed Pesach is because the wheat is not ready, they're happy. Because anyway, you can't eat the wheat. So push off Pesach, Adrabah, say, how about if it? Push off the holiday for 30 days until the wheat ripens. By the time the holiday comes, we'll be able to eat it. So this is when Aviv is one of the reasons they are happy. Avad kashe Aviv ra'ui li katsir. But let's say the wheat is ready to cut. Vashana mit'abirit ala pirot v'tikufot. And the reason why they're delaying the Pesach is for the other two reasons. Atsevim. They said, why? Shizman Isur Hadash Ne'erach Alehim. They have the Isur of Hadash for another month. So therefore they are upset. Rashbag Omer Ala Tikufa. Rashbag said Tikufa. Ibayilu. Continue Rashi. Ala Tikufa Simehim. Maybe he meant to say like this. When the Tikufa is one of the reasons, they are happy. Now why would they be happy if the tikufa is one of the reasons? As she says, Shima tikufa nofedet ketikuna b'tchidat tishri. Let's say the tikufa falls out the normal time. The season, let's see the seasons come out like they're supposed to. That the tikufa falls out at the beginning of tishri. Ve'hem ma'avrim ha'shana b'shvir devarim ahirim. She says it like this. Let's say the tikufa is good. Listen to this point. The tikufa is good. From the season standpoint, everything works out good. But they delay the year for other reasons. Mm-hmm. So now what's going to happen? It pushes the tikufa further into the winter. Now they have Sukkot when it's cold. So therefore, when the reason of the pushing off is tikufa, they're happy. Because then they know the tikufa will fall out in the beginning of the tikufa. At least it'll be the weather will be a little better. But if you're going to push it off, not because of the tikufa, because the tikufa is good. I mean, everything is good from that standpoint, but you're still pushing off for other reasons. So now, they're pushing the tikufa late. And therefore, as she writes, right? The holidays are going to go into the winter. Now it happens that the later it is, all the pilgrims that come up to Yerushalayim, they have to get back home. The later it is in the season, the more rain it is. Okay. Or did he mean to say no? Tikufa, you can make ibur alone. The first rabbi said you need two out of three. Maybe when Abad Shimon said tikufa means tikufa alone, you can make a leap year. The Gemara does not know the covenant of Rashbag, and if the Gemara leaves it in a tiku, comes the Gemara and continues. Oh, now we discuss the regions. There's three regions that we take into consideration when we make a leap year. Yehuda, Ve'ever Yarden, Ve'Galil. Ashtayim mehem ma'avirim. Again, two out of three rule. Ve'alehat mehen, en ma'avirim. U'bizman, Shehuda ahat mehen. When Yehuda is one of them, Hakol simehim. Everybody's happy. If they're delaying it, because let's say the wheat isn't ripened in Yehuda's section, they're happy. Why? She'en omer ba elam Yehuda. Because the law is, the omer has to come from the region of Yehuda. So when they're delaying it for Yehuda, so they're happy because they know that the omer is going to be ripened and they're going to be able to take it. Look at Rashi. Ashalosh arasot. See second line? Ashalosh arasot shelo yegiya abiv shelahem. Let's say where the ripening of the wheat did not come yet. Shiloin bendin shemetachayet bemzman bishul perot ayelam avrim shloshtam eris sayelam. Good. These are three from Israel. Ashtayim im afilu al ever yarden ba galil. Even if, let's say, the two regions are ever yarden and galil, ma'avrim, do'id ubruba de eris yelo matab. It says in the majority of Israel, the aviv did not come. Lo karin al be chodesh aviv. Which is, even though Yehuda, the ripening happened already. Doesn't matter. You go with the majority of Israel. A Pesach has to be in the Chodesh Aviv, in the month of the ripening. And since two out of three regions don't have ripening yet, no, you have to make the leap year. But the Hatman and Ma'avirim. Afilu lo yegiya b'Yehuda. Oh, now let's say you get two out of three that has ripening. Even though in Yehuda, you don't have the ripening. V'yegiya b'Evere Yehuda v'Galil en Ma'avirim. So what do they do that year? They bring the Omer from Galil and Evre Yarden. So then Yehuda gets boxed out. So that's why Yehuda would be happy when they're one of the reasons why they delayed. When the Aviv doesn't reach Yehuda, they're happy for the delay because then they know by the 30-day delay, the wheat is going to be ripened by their region, they can bring the Omer. However, when they, when the other regions have Aviv and Yehuda doesn't, so then there's no leap year. And then what happens? Yehuda said, because they don't bring the Omer from Yehuda, they're going to bring the Omer from the other regions. Continue Rashi. Look at the next Rashi. Ubezman shi Yehuda ehad minam uharot. When Yehuda is one of the late ones, kol semichin she'eh lefi she'en Omer ba liyot mitzvah minam uvhar, the main mitzvah of Omer elam Yehuda. So therefore, ilkach im bishel biyuda ve'ibrua b'shvil ashdayim. Now, what's going to happen? Let's say Yehuda reached bishul, beautiful aviv, but the other two didn't. Not good for Yehuda either, because by the time you wait 30 days, all the wheat dries up in Yehuda, so you still can't use it. So the best scenario for Yehuda is either where everything comes out good, you don't have to make a leap year at all, or that they're one of the regions why they make it a leap year. Because then already by 30 days later, the wheat is going to be ripened. They can use it for mitzvah min ha-mufahar. So therefore Yehuda is sameyah. Continue a little more. Tanu rabbanan en ma'avrim et ha-shanim ela bi-Yehuda v'im ebruha begalil me'uberet. Now it goes location. Where do they make this meeting? Where do they make the ibur? The Ibur Shana is done in Yehuda. That's where the Bet Din was. But if they did it in Galil, b'di'avad, me'uberet. He'id Hananya ish ono. Im ebruha begalil, ena me'uberet. Oh, no, you do it in Galil, doesn't count. Amar bi Yehuda beret bishum en pazi. Vayta amad Hananya ish ono. What's the reason of Hananya ish ono that says it's me'akev, it has to be done in Dafka and in Yehuda? Yehuda is Yerushalayim. Why? Amar kera le shichno tidreshu. ובאת שמה כל דרישה שאתה דורש לא יהיו אלא בשכנו של מקום. Any need that you need for Klal Yisrael, שכנו, you have to do it in the place of the Shekhinah. The שכנו תדרשו. It's in the place of the Shekhinah. And where's the Shekhinah? In Yerushalayim, the place of the Beit HaMikdash. That she says, שכנו של מקום. Yerushalayim, who be Yehuda. And therefore, this is a need for Klal Yisrael. And therefore, all these things have to be done דווקא in Yerushalayim. Taru Rabbanan. אין מעברים את השנה אלא ביום. Another rule. It's only done in the day. ואם עברוה בלילה, אינה מעוברת. Doesn't count. You can't do it at night. ואין מקדשים את החודש אלא ביום. And also קידוש החודש. The sanctification of the Rosh Chodesh. Only in the day. ואם קידשוה בלילה, אינו מקודש. אמר רב אבא מאקרא, where do you know this from? תקעו בחודש שופר, בכסה ליום חגנו. What does the pasuk say? תקעו בחודש שופר, blow the shofar in the month. What month? בכסה ליום חגנו. בכסה is in the covering. In the month that's covered. איזו חג שהחודש מתכסה בו? What's the only holiday of the year that when the holiday comes, the moon is still covered? Have you heard? It's Rosh Hashanah. Because when Rosh Hashanah comes the first of the month, all the other holidays are on the 15th. That's when the moon is full. Tikru b'chodesh shofar. When? B'kese. In the month of Kese. The month where it's mechuseh. And what does it say? Uchtiv ki hot li Yisraelu. Next pasuk. Ki hot li Yisraelu mishpat l'Elohe Yaakov. After it talks about Rosh Hashanah, which happens to be Rosh Chodesh, the next pasuk talks about Mishpat. What's Mishpat? Jidin. Ma Mishpat Bayom, Av Kiddush HaChodesh Bayom. So we make a simuchim. Just like Mishpat, from, we don't know how, but we know that it's in the day, so too, Kiddush HaChodesh must be in the day. Tekru b'chodesh shofar. Bekes Yom Hagir. Let's talk about Rosh Hashanah. And then what does it say? It says, Ki Chok Yisrael Mishpat Elu Yaakov Rashi. Havi Omer, let's Rashi on the page. זה ראש השנה, שחגה בראש השנה, בראש חודש, ראש השנה זה ראש חודש, אבל שאר חגים באמצע החודשים, the rest of the holidays in the middle of the month, וכתיב, כי חוק, כלומר, חוק שישראל עושים באותו חג לנו קידוש החודש, הרי הוא כמשפט, הוא משפט ביום, תכתיב, ביום הנחילו את בניו, on the day that they made the bequeathment. See, when do you make a bequeathment? With a bed din. And therefore you see that judgment is in the day, and therefore Shkod is also in the day.